Hey y'all, how y'all doing? Hope you have a beautiful day. I got some exciting episodes. I know I say this every week, but this week I once again topped it, and we got two awesome episodes recorded for you. This was one of the best recordings we ever had. I had a recording with Mormek, a Plants vs. Zombie speedrunner who's like started speedrunning way before speedrunning was actually a thing. He was like one of the first people who ever speedrun, basically. And it's kind of crazy, and now he's a Plants vs. Zombies speedrunner, is one of the best in that game. And Plants vs. Zombies is for me a classic game, a really good game everyone has heard of or played. And if you don't know the game, you probably missed something. You should search it up and play it. But if you have played this game, please give this episode a chance and listen to it. Plants vs. Zombies is a very unique episode, a very unique speedrun, and there's so much about it, and I truly believe it's like a good speedrun at this point, but it's like very different from all the other speedruns we know, but it's super cool. So give this episode a try. In this first episode, he dropped a bunch of info, and in the second episode I will upload next week, we discussed more about this info and looked more into how to get into this game and looked into some deeper mechanics. So yeah, hope you will enjoy these episodes. Now have fun. Hello everybody, welcome to another podcast episode here on Speedrun Education. Today I have Mormek with me. He is a Plants vs. Zombies speedrunner. Let's introduce yourself.
How's everyone doing today? Yeah, again, as you just heard, my name is Mormek. You can find me on Twitch TV at twitch.tv/WormekGaming. But before rambling too much about myself, I just wanted to thank you, Flesh, for having me on the podcast.
No problem.
Again, I just found out about this podcast relatively recently, but I've really been hooked on the episodes ever since then. So again, I just wanted to say I think you're doing really great work here. You know, I love the production value of everything. And again, I hope today I can add just a little bit to the educational speedrunning community.
Well, that's an awesome introduction. So we are going to talk like primarily focused on Plants vs. Zombies. I think Plants vs. Zombies is like a game every one of us who owns a PC or a Nintendo DS or whatever device you played it on has played it. Like, it's like such a, I don't know, it was such a big game in the past, and it's like, I don't know, everybody remembers it from the good old days. So how did you ended up speedrunning such a game? Because it looks very different from the atypical speedrun game, let's be honest.
It sure does. And again, I'm really excited to be able to talk about, you know, a lot of the cool mechanics and things like that. But believe it or not, my speedrunning story actually goes back to the early 90s. Where at one point my dad got a Nintendo Power magazine, for anybody that remembers that. And it sort of had like a tutorial on like how to beat the original Super Mario Bros. In 10 minutes, which I know nowadays everyone's like, oh, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, you're a noob, you know, only you have to join the 5-minute club. But of course, back then in the early 90s, that was like, wow, you know, you have all these warps and things like that. So I remember, again, I was probably maybe 5 or 6 at the time or something, and my dad showed me this, and I'm like, that's so cool. Like, you know, like these games that, again, I could barely understand at that age, but like just the idea of sort of like, you're having something that you love, like gaming, and then, you know, being able to do it, you know, a little bit more competitively or with sort of a different goal in mind other than just, you know, other than just beating the game. I thought that was very cool. So, again, kind of building into that, fast forward maybe to 2003, where my dad challenged me to a race of Final Fantasy VI, or as it's known here in the US, Final Fantasy III. And they had an in-game timer, so we were able to kind of beat the game and then, you know, look at our times at the very end. And I actually won the race, and I was like, oh, you know, like, I'll bet no one in the world could beat the game as much as I did. I beat this game like 10 times. Like, there's no one, there's no way anybody got like as good a time as I did. And so I went on the internet at that point, and I was like, you know, like, fastest time for beating Final Fantasy VI, not even knowing there was a term speedrun or that other people would have had this like really eccentric hobby like I did. And at that point, I stumbled upon a website called Speed Demos Archive that, again, for, you know, those of us that have been around speedrunning a little bit longer might remember that that was sort of like speedrun.com before speedrun.com was a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Really before YouTube was a thing. And, you know, looking through the games, I actually did find someone that beat, you know, Final Fantasy VI. I think my time was 12 hours. Again, I thought that was great. They beat it in 6 hours. And I was like, what? No way. But like, they were able to provide the video evidence of it. And I watched the video just like enthralled the whole time. Like, like this can't be a thing. People can't like record themselves playing this game really fast. And then I'm like, I want to be on the leaderboard. You know, I'd like to do this. Like, what game could I do? And so I eventually started a run of Final Fantasy I. That's where my name comes from, Mormek, in 2005, which I didn't complete until 2014. I had, originally I was recording it on VHS, believe it or not, again, an ancient technology that like eventually the tapes just like got lost or destroyed. The recording quality was awful. And so I had to restart the run and like go through the whole thing. But, again, after like a little bit of hiatus after I was done Final Fantasy One, I kind of got bitten by the bug again in 2017, where I picked up again one of my favorite strategy games of all time, Plants vs. Zombies. And at that point, Twitch had really become sort of the primary platform for kind of gaming in general as well as speedrunning. And so I created a Twitch account, and again, I honestly kind of created the profile just with the idea in mind of like, wow, this would be a really great way that I could actually capture the game in high quality, on my computer, and like the Twitch could kind of back it up and so forth. But then, not knowing at the time, I figured, I'm like, oh, like if I could get a world record, that would be great. Not knowing then that over the course of the next like 2 or 3 years that I've been streaming the game, I would have put, 1500 hours into streaming. I think I'm pushing about 7,000 or 8,000 attempts in all the different categories that the game has to offer. And, again, I've been really hooked ever since. It's a fantastic speed game. I never get bored of it. I love the community. We have a, great, rapidly growing, global community, and I've just felt like very, very impassioned about it, ever since I picked up speedrunning the game about 3 years ago.
What a lovely story. I really love like the beginning of it, how it all started with like a race against your father. And I personally, like in the beginning of my speedrunning journey, I also had like races with my cousin of like Mario games and all sorts of stuff. It was like those experiences, like we weren't professionals or anything, we were super slow compared to the good guys, but dude, it was like a fun time to sit together in one room and everyone's playing their game and like comparing each other to that was so cool. And then like also like how you recorded your first speedruns, I feel like the really, I want to say, old school speedrunners, like the first speedrunners of all time, there were some of the most humble people like ever existing in speedrunning. Like it's crazy how like in some of like Summoning Salts videos, like one of the first Ocarina of Time speedrunners was also like, dude, he was so humble. It's like so crazy what early speedrunners are doing. But yeah, Plants vs. Zombies is a game you're mostly known for nowadays. And I was like wondering before, like I got suggested to make an episode with you, and I was like, Zombies, what can we talk about? This isn't this just an auto scroller? And I was like, I was looking at your Twitch page, and you in your Twitch page description, you immediately erased that word auto scroller. Like this speedrun is not about it being an auto scroller. And then I watched some of your VODs, like a video where you analyzed the run of someone else and gave advice on it. And dude, I didn't understand everything, but I saw like the placements of the plants and the strategy behind it, that I was like, that looks like very interesting to compare to, I want to say, a normal playthrough, like on especially the earlier levels. Like it looked like you manipulated stuff. So we are going to talk about this game, but first of all, like the question probably everyone is waiting for, why is Plants vs. Zombies a tower defense game, basically, not an auto scroller speedrun? Like, yeah. Go ahead. I think you can explain it pretty well.
Absolutely. So I actually went on Wikipedia right before we started this podcast to see what Wikipedia defined the game as, and they did call it a tower defense game, which isn't inaccurate. A lot of us sort of maybe have memories of like, Balloons Tower Defense, or even like the original Tower Defense, like Warcraft mods and things like that too. And certainly there is an element of that. So again, just as a little bit of background for people who aren't quite familiar with the series, that basically the zombie apocalypse has happened, and there are these waves of zombies that approach your house to try to eat your brains. And so your goal is to plant a variety of plants to fend off these zombies, kind of get through the waves and beat each level. And of course, as the game progresses, you get more and more types of plants, but there are also more and more types of zombies that you need to defend against. And sort of like any strategy game, there are some plants that are better against some types of zombies than others. Like there are some that are better at dealing with like high hit point zombies versus there are others that are better at dealing with like a large quantity of zombies and things like that. So, so again, there's certainly that element to it, but instead of being a tower defense, I actually see the game as having more in common with like a real-time strategy game. Mm-hmm. The idea that You know, you don't just necessarily, it's not like the game says, all right, plant these five plants and have fun. You actually, you have sun that is basically like your resource that you would think of as like maybe food in Age of Empires or like minerals in StarCraft or something like that, yeah. Where you have a finite amount of sun that you get a little bit passively, you're generated some a little bit passively throughout the game, but you also have the ability to plant sunflowers, which in turn increases your sun that you can use to further, you know, further build plants, you know, further later on in the level. So you can sort of see, like, with those sorts of things, really what it is it comes down to is that it's a decision-making speed run, that you have like a finite, you know, number of resources. And, you know, with every wave that goes by or every level that goes by, or sometimes even within a certain wave, you have decisions that make. You're like, all right, I have 100 sun. Do I focus that on planting more sunflowers so I can increase my sun generation for the future? Mm-hmm. Do I use one of the instant plants that's only like a one-time use to kill this wave really fast? Or maybe do I focus on, you know, generating some pea shooters, which are basically like your kind of constant DPS or your constant firepower that may not be quite as fast for this wave, but over the course of an entire level might help you beat future waves a little bit faster. So the whole game is basically like this struggle between like, how do I balance my economy with killing the plants or with killing the zombies quickly, but also preparing for future waves as well. And so the game, has a certain number of mechanics about it to kind of go back to your question about why it's not just an auto-scroller. The game, I sort of narrowed it down to three very important mechanics that the game has to that allows it to be a speed run and not just, well, how quickly can you kill the final wave and that's your mm-hmm. time. And basically the first is that unlike other tower defense games, Plants vs. Zombies is non-deterministic, meaning that every time you play through the game, it's a little bit different. So, for yeah. example, like a deterministic game is like Mario, you know, Super Mario Bros. 1, right? There's always a Goomba right there at the very beginning when you start to walk forward. There's always a mushroom in the block when you get that first block. If you press these certain combinations of inputs, you'll always be able to perform flagpole glitch. Mm-hmm. If you arrive at Bowser on a certain frame, Bowser will always jump forward or jump backwards or whatever. You know, the whole game is deterministic, but Plants vs. Zombies, in contrast, deals in probabilities, not certainties. So, in other words, you know that for any like for any given wave, there's a probability that a zombie will appear in a certain spot, or there's a probability that you'll get a certain type of zombie, but that's not certain. And every time you play through the game, it's a little bit different. So, for example, if you were, if you're in a good example, I guess, of that would be like the fourth wave of most zombies, there's basically a 50-50 chance you'll either get two regular zombies or one conehead zombie. The conehead mm-hmm. zombie has more hit points, but the two regular zombies usually appear in two different rows. And so you can sort of see where if every time you play through the game, there's only a 50-50 chance that any certain number of outcomes will happen, really every time you play through the game is different. So you can never truly solve any level. So for example, a strategy that might work one time through the game and get mm-hmm. you a very fast time, the next time you play it, you get a different zombie in a different row, you get different types of zombies, things like that. And as a result, your strategy that you used the first time is completely different the second time. So what I love about Plants vs. Zombies speedrunning is that, again, every time you play through the game, it's a little bit different in that you have to constantly adapt your strategies on the fly to account for those non-determinist variables, and that you know that there's a probability that you'll get a certain zombie or a probability that the zombies will appear in a certain row. But because that's not certain, you have to sort of like prepare for the best, but plan for the worst. You have to plan that there is a small chance that something very, very bad could happen to you. And how do I react to that to still beat through the game as quickly as you can?
Yeah. As you explained it, like, it became so much more obvious because, like, what differentiates, I think, as a normal, like as a not intel of Plants vs. Zombies, what differentiates the most from a regular auto-scroller is, like, it's, like, random. You need to be flexible. Like in most speedruns, when there's an auto scroller, it's like always the same, but Plants vs. Zombies isn't that. But I personally thought beforehand, like, the zombies will just spawn in different lanes, but they're like what zombie spawns is always the same, but that's like also different. And I can totally see like, oh yeah, you need to rely on RNG and luck, obviously, but you can also like need to be very flexible and need a lot of strategy. I can totally see that being a thing, and that's like actually incredible. That sounds like, man, and was that like 50-50 rule you explained earlier, the 50% rule you mentioned like a billion times in your videos, and I was like, what is this rule? I want to know this rule. Like, I wrote down my questions, and like in the end, I was like thinking about some other questions while watching your VODs, and I was like, bonus questions. What is the 50% rule? Because I didn't get that, but that's actually a good explanation that like 50% of the time you get like what is it called? I don't know the English word.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's the conehead zombie.
The conehead zombie.
But believe it or not, the 50% rule is also it's actually a different mechanic that is critical to the idea of the game as a speed game. So playing through the game casually, you might sort of like get the impression, oh, like if I kill the first wave, the next wave will appear. If I kill that wave, the next wave will appear. That's sort of how most tower defense games work. But what the 50% rule is, it's a very, very cool mechanic written into Plants vs. Zombies that basically says that if you defeat up to 50% of the current wave's total hit points, then the next wave will appear. So in other words, if you have one zombie on screen and you do half of that zombie's hit points, then the next wave will appear. And then at that point, believe it or not, that first wave doesn't even matter anymore in terms of progressing through the game. Only that next wave matters. So then if you do 50% of that wave's hit points, the next wave will appear. So as a result, basically the faster you kill like wave X, the faster wave X plus one will appear. And there are a couple exceptions to that. Obviously you have to kill all of the final wave in order for the level to be over. And you have to kill all of like, it's wave like 9, 19, 29. Like you have to kill those multiple nines in there entirely. But it gets even better than that. That we sort of like loosely figured out the 50% rule about 2 years ago, but we figured out the exact math behind it a little bit more recently than that. And that's that the game actually picks a random number between 35 and 50%. And every wave and every time you play through the game, that number is different too. So sometimes you might only need to do 35% of the current wave's hit points for the next wave to appear. Other times you might need to do all 50%. And so as a result, again, I was sort of mentioning like the real-time strategy element of it. There's a big number of decisions that you have to make sort of related to, all right, do I try to get 50% of this wave quickly, or do I sort of try to prepare for the future waves a little bit more? And the game still doesn't sort of totally take mercy on you that the 50% rule is also governed by a timer. That being that if you don't satisfy the 50% rule, meaning you don't do 50% of the current wave's hit points within a random number between 25 and 31 seconds, then the next wave will appear anyway. So the game basically, it doesn't, you know, again, it has no mercy on you. It says, all right, you wanted to ignore this wave to try to build up a bunch of sun? We're going to send in the next wave 25 to 31 seconds later. So again, as a result, the game is all about like managing that 50% rule. Again, trying to focus on those high hit point zombies, get their hit points down low enough, but while still making sure that you don't, you know, the zombies that appear in the other rows don't overwhelm you and cost you more time or eat your sunflowers, or, you know, ultimately there are some times where we take a death and we lose, even though the game itself isn't inherently that difficult. Basically, the faster you try to kill the waves, the quicker it is that you can be overrun. So the strategy is not necessarily kill every wave as fast as you can, as you know, without regard. That would sort of make it honestly a little bit boring, and the game would be pretty solvable. But rather, like, do I sacrifice a little bit of time in this wave so that I can better prepare myself in future waves, and those waves will go a little bit faster? And that's what I absolutely love about Plants vs. Zombies speedrunning. I can use the example of one of the early levels. It's just the fourth level, but there are five different rows that the zombies can appear in, and there are 10 different waves. And so with just those mechanics alone, it would be like you could have 5 to the 10th power different possibilities of zombies appearing in different waves. And then you couple that with the fact that you might get different types of zombies, and you might get two in the same row back to back or something like that. And you can easily see where there are millions, if not hundreds of millions, of possibilities of waves. And it would be impossible. Nobody has even, like, other than maybe the first level or two that are very short and very easy, nobody has really solved any of the levels to find the perfect order of operations for every single thing, for every single possibility of those millions of waves that you could get. It's just not possible. So the game is all about, like, practicing, learning to adapt, like you said, being flexible, making adjustments on the fly, you know, reacting to the RNG, again, sort of, you know, trying to find that perfect balance of, again, like, killing the current wave quickly, but while also preparing for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, as you said, like, that second 50% rule, where, like, you need to deal certain amount of damage to one wave to spawn the next wave. At that point, it made, like, so much. Like, I got a click moment in my brain, because, like, when I watched some of the Plants vs. Zombies speedruns, and to everybody outside here not watched any speedruns, you need to watch one, and then you will also understand. Like, in the earlier levels, you, like, basically leave some lanes alone and let, like, one zombie walk to the very end. And then you use the mowing machine. I think that's the word. I Googled it right before the podcast too, because I didn't know what the word is in English. And you use that to, like, kill multiple zombies in one row. And, like, I never thought of it that can be a strategy to just build more sunflowers to get a better sun economy. And that, like, I was, like, so confused at first what you're doing there. But then I understood now the strategy behind it. It's, like, actually really cool that 50% rule of when the next wave is spawning is, like, dude, there's so much depth in this game. And that's what I love about speedrunning in general. Like, you know, every game looks so simple and so normal at first. And, like, we talked about Mario Bros. 1. And then people come up with, like, frame rules or, like, you know, subpixel manipulation and all that stuff. And it's, like, so crazy what speedrunners do with games. Like, they take a game and they take it apart and they make their own science with that game. It's, like, the most beautiful thing. And why I personally love speedrunning and why I do speedruns, because it's, like, that is crazy. Like, I had an episode with Dave Stereo and he was talking about Final Fantasy VII and its speedrun. And I was, like, at first as well, like, most people, me too, believe, RPG speedruns, what's so exciting about them? Like, isn't it just, like, RNG manipulation and running through the game? And then he explained, like, every tech they discovered or most of the exciting tech. And I was, like, mind blown. It's, like, pretty crazy. But yeah, I don't know where to start. Like, is there any other mechanic you can talk about? Like, we got the 50% rule of damaging a wave to 50% or 50 to 35%, and then the next wave can spawn. And we got the 50% rule of, like, stronger zombie or two weaker zombies spawning. And what are the other, like, mechanics in the game? Like, in the earlier waves, it looked like you, for example, manipulated some of the spawning patterns to get, like, better cherry bombs, for example. For people who don't know, a cherry bomb is, like, an instant kill move that can kill many zombies at once. So how does these mechanics work? And is there anything else you can explain to us?
Yeah, absolutely. Another very, very important mechanic in the game. Again, if this whole idea of 50% rules and the waves and the probabilities of getting different zombies wasn't enough, there's also a lot of, in the game, what we call basically micro RNG. And that's, like, very, very small aspects of RNG that wouldn't even notice in casual play, or, you wouldn't think on the surface would make that much of a difference, but really can. So the first, another little bit of RNG is what we call the sun RNG. And that's that basically there's some sun that basically passively falls from the sky. And obviously, you know, you use that sun to plant plants, and the more plants you have, the faster you can kill the zombies, etc. But there's actually a little bit of RNG that goes into that sun as well. There's basically a probability of how quickly that sun will appear on screen, particularly to start the level, and then it starts to fall in more even intervals. So sometimes if you get a good pattern, you'll get the sun almost, like, right as the level starts, but sometimes you have to wait up to, I think it's about 12 seconds for that first sun to appear, and obviously that then slows you down. And sometimes, because you get slowed down, the first zombie will already be on the screen and you'll have less sun than you're used to. So once again, you have to adapt your strategy again to adjust for that sun RNG. So again, it's not something that will affect the entire game, but it forces you to adapt a little bit more, particularly early on in the levels, to deal with it. Another little bit is that the zombie's speed is actually random. So
the thing that surprised me the most. Like, I never noticed it when, like, I was playing casually.
Exactly. Like, they all kind of, like, walk on screen, and they're not most of the zombies anyway, aren't that fast. You know, they're kind of walking along. But basically, if we say that a normal zombie, we'll say, has an average speed of 1, the slowest zombies have a speed of 0.7, and the fastest zombies could have a speed of about 1.3. But of course, that means that the difference between the very slowest zombie and the very fastest zombie is almost a factor of 2. So there are sometimes we want the zombies to be faster because we want them to appear on screen faster and, you know, start taking damage faster. But there's sometimes that we want the zombies to be a little bit slower because it lets us, you know, produce more sun, get our plants out in time. And it sort of helps with the overall like timing and flow of the level as well, too. So again, if that wasn't enough, you know, the zombie speed is a little bit random. And sometimes based on, again, particularly at the beginning of the level, if you get a fast zombie versus a slow zombie, you have to make slight adjustments to your strategy in order to account for that as well. And again, speaking about more little bits of RNG, there are some levels that are kind of auto-scrollers, and there's basically a conveyor belt of plants. There's no sun production at all. The game basically gives you plants automatically, and you're sort of forced to, you know, plant those plants and sort of deal with the waves there. Well, that too is actually governed by a little bit of RNG. Basically, each one of those levels, you know, you might have a 20% chance of getting a cherry bomb, a 15% chance of getting a repeater, which shoots 2 peas at the same time, a 10% chance of getting a regular pea shooter, which only shoots 1 pea at the same time. And again, maybe 4 or 5 or 6 other plants that you were introduced to on those levels. So, of course, the conveyor RNG can matter quite a bit, too, because, you know, we want the good, powerful plants to come up as much as possible. And we don't want kind of the more, you know, weaker, more useless plants to appear. But we found out about a year ago that conveyor can be manipulated such that if you don't want a particular plant to appear, you basically let it build up in the conveyor. You choose not to plant it. So say you don't want walnuts because the walnuts don't damage the zombies and therefore don't let you beat the level very quickly. You let those walnuts build up in the conveyor, and then that increases the probability of getting everything except walnut. And so basically as a result, if we choose, you know, on those levels, we can manipulate RNG by a little bit by basically ignoring the plants that we don't want and more actively planting the plants that we do want. And so I sort of use the example like, you know, there are these very powerful like cherry bombs and doom shrooms that can like kill massive numbers of zombies on the screen. And I know like for me, well, you know, we were talking about RNG or about RPGs when we were, you know, younger. I was the one like, I'd love to hold on to my elixirs till the final boss, right?
Yeah.
Like, I got to save all the elixirs. But actually, this mechanic means that you want to use those big, powerful plants earlier and sooner. You don't want to save them for a rainy day, because if you let too many of them build up, then that decreases the probability that you get them in the future. And so a lot of those auto scrollers or conveyor levels, they're actually not really auto scrollers at all, because you need to make decisions about what plants you plant where and when and what you let build up on the conveyor, and, you know, whether you use the instance early on or do you save them for the next wave. So again, I really describe Plants versus Zombies as a result of all those mechanics that we've talked about so far, and even a couple others that we haven't quite, you know, dove into just yet. It really is what we call a decision-making speedrun. When it comes down to it, there are no frame perfect tricks. There are no difficult to execute glitches. There's nothing that, you know, honestly, you know, a gamer who's 5 or 6 years old versus someone who's 95 or 96 years old. There's no real mechanics other than just like clicking a plant and putting it on the screen. You want to try to do that as fast as you possibly can without misclicking, but it's not particularly difficult to do that. It's infinitely more important to make good decisions during the speedrun than it is to have any sort of like fast mechanics or good mouse speed or anything like that. And so as a result, that's sort of why the game appeals to someone like me. Like when it comes down to it, I kind of accept the fact that like I'm not really like very good at video games in the traditional sense. Like I could never do Flagpole Glitch. I could never do like Celeste, you mentioned. Like I would drive myself crazy. I make so many mistakes and things like that. Like I'm not very like mechanically good at video games, but like I am good at strategy games, and I do sort of work in a more analytical field that sort of like is a lot like this, where you have like all these variables, right? You have the sun, you have the plants, you have the zombie speed, you have what zombie appears on screen, and like looking at all those variables and saying, okay, what can I do to like maximize the efficiency of this wave? And so as a result, those runners that make the right decision will always, always, always have better times than even those who get good RNG. Our top runner, for example, could get a run with like horrible RNG and still perform much, much, much better than, you know, someone who's, you know, maybe, you know, less experienced with the mm-hmm. game, but gets amazing RNG. So as a result, we say, oh, we get all the time in chat, you know, all of this is just auto scroller, or all of this is just an RNG game. But to tell you the truth, it could not be farther from either of those. Like, yes, the RNG could affect you like 5 seconds here, 10 seconds here, 15 seconds here. And like that could add up over the course of a 3.5 hour run for our main category, any percent. But when it comes down to it, it's all about like, does the runner make good decisions? Mm-hmm. Even that is like, you may not know at the time whether you made a good decision because like there's just, and that's what makes it like almost like it can make it very difficult to even like provide guidance or tutorials or things like that. Cause I could say, well, these were the right decisions to make under this circumstance. Yeah. When we got this RNG and these types of zombies, but in an alternate universe where these zombies appear here and this type of thing, those would have been horrible decisions and you should have done something entirely different. So again, that's the beauty of Plants vs. Zombies as a speed game. It's a decision-making speed game where you don't need to be very good at video games. You don't even need to get that great luck when it comes down to it, but instead like you need to be able to make good decisions, you know, go back and sort of reflect on and analyze your runs, be like, okay, where did I make mistakes? What did I not account for? Did I not react for, you know, a bad case scenario, or did I not plan for the good case scenarios, or, you know, did I just not really like understand the 50% rule, or, you know, the RNG and things like that? Did I not like use those mechanics to my advantage in order to beat the game as quickly as possible? Because the game, we say, you know, is really ultimately governed by, you know, again, those 50% rules and then the mm-hmm. final waves. Like, again, how quickly do you make the waves appear? And then how quickly can you kill those final waves? But it's not a matter of just try to kill the zombies as fast as you can. It's all about, okay, how do I balance my economy, and how do I make decisions that sort of optimize, you know, my efficiency or minimize the amount of time that it takes to beat each level. And again, that's what I love about the game so much, that again, it's so different, and it can be like you can think you're making the right decision at the right time, but then you look back at the end of the level and you're like, oh, that was dumb, or mm-hmm. oh, I could have done this a little differently, or oh, I didn't even see that I could have used this plant in this situation, or I could have use my son more efficiently at this point in the level, and then that would have affected the outcome later on in the level. So again, I'm very passionate about the game, as I'm sure all of your, interviewees are. But, you know, again, Plants vs. Zombies is so unique in that regard that, again, you don't even need to be like good at the game so much as you need to be good at like analyzing like how to use your resources and how to, you know, most effectively, you know, kind of deal with, you know, not only the current wave, but the waves that are coming.
Oh my gosh, I hope you all got the same feelings as I did during this episode. Like, after this first half of recording, I was already like, damn, I need to play this game, and I need to speedrun it, see how it goes. This was like, wow, that was just awesome. I loved him. He talked very greatly about all the mechanics of the game, and he got me really hooked, so I hope he got some of you also hooked to speedrun this game. Give it a try. It's very unique. But yeah, hope you enjoyed this episode. Next week, as I said, I will upload the second part of this recording. We talked a bunch more about some deeper mechanics of the game. Another 30-minute episode comes out next week. But till then, see you and stay excited, I think. Bye!